Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Ayin Aleph. We're beginning about 10 lines up from the top with the words Omar Mar. We're going to quote what we said yesterday. Yesterday's share we had a machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva as to how we darshan out that an Orel is forbidden to eat not only the Korban Pesach, but is forbidden to go and eat from Truma. And yesterday we darshaned in great detail the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. We'll come back a little bit to him today, so I'll wait till we get to that, till we go over his opinion. But we had the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who said you don't need the Gzeir Shava of Toshiv Socher, Toshav Socher, but instead you learn it out from the Pasuk Ish Ish. Ish Ish Mizera Aron Vutzeru Ozov Bakodoshim Lo Yochal is not only the Truma. This Kodshim is referring to Truma. Adesh Yitor, until he becomes Torah by going to the mikvah that night and having Harav Shemesh. And it says that such a person is Ish Ish, is not allowed to go and eat from Truma. So Rabbi Akiva had said the extra word Ish, Harayomer Ish Ish, is Larabos is Oral. The second mention of the word Ish is to teach us that it's not only the Masorah as a Zov, but it's also a person who's an Oral. He can't eat from the Korban Pesach or from Truma. Now, the Eimah Larabos as Onain, maybe it comes to include that an Onain can't eat Truma. Now, that's not the halacha. In fact, an Onain can eat Truma. An Onain isn't allowed to eat Kodshim. An Onain isn't allowed to eat Maaser Sheni. But somewhat paradoxically, an Onain is allowed to eat Truma. But maybe the extra wording of Ish is coming to be Marbe Onain. Somewhere says, no, Amar Yossi, Rabbi Chinina, Amar Kral, the Cholzor. We had the pasuk that said, the Cholzor lo yochal kodesh. And that was to teach us, Zorus amayatilcha, only a Zor is not allowed to go and eat Truma. However, below Aninus, but not a Kohen who is an Onain, he is allowed to eat Truma. So Gemara says, maybe it's the other way around. Ema, below Arelus, maybe the Pasuk of Chozor is teaching us, like we said yesterday, when we were darshaning Rabbi Eliezer Shita, that Zoris is a non-Kohen can eat Truma, but in fact, an Arul could eat Truma. So Gemara says, no, that's what we had. Hoksiv, Ish Ish, that's what Rabbi Akiva is telling us, the Ish Ish, the extra word Ish, is teaching us that an Arul can't eat it. So we have a choice. We're saying that the word Ish, the X word Ish, is teaching us that an Oral cannot eat Truma, but an Onin is allowed to eat Truma because of Cholzar. So the Gemara says, flip it around, the Mara eats. Maybe the Cholzar is coming to teach us that, in fact, an Oral can eat Truma, and Ish, Ish, the X word Ish, is to be Marba, then, in fact, the Onin can't eat Truma. So the Gemara says, no, that's not right. Mistabra arelus havalele rebuye. Like we had in yesterday's shiur, we're going to have the same exact discussion today. So it makes more sense to say that the orel should be the one that's excluded from eating truma, and the onain is allowed to eat truma. Why is that? Because the orel has five things about it. This mnemonic that we had yesterday, shekain, masim, krusim, badovor, and ho'evet, which is actually five things, whose masim is really two. So there are five things in favor of saying that if you have to exclude one, either the orel or the onain, from eating truma, it makes more sense to take the stricter Arel and not the less strict Onain. Why is that? Because the Masim is two things that the Arel is missing. He's Mechusa Maisa. He's missing having a Bris Mila. And it is Maisa Begufo. It's on his own body that he's missing something. So that's two. V'yanish Kores, if a Arel were to go and not be circumcised, he doesn't get a Bris Mila, so then he's Chayiv Kores. And that's number three. For number four, B'yeshnul v'adibor, the mitzvah bris mila was given before Matan Torah. The mitzvah vaninus is only given at Matan Torah. And umilas zucharav v'avodav miakeves. And if a person has either a son or an eved that doesn't have a circumcision, doesn't have a bris mila, so then that father or slash owner of the eved is not allowed to go and bring the Korban Pesach and eat from the Korban Pesach. So therefore, there are five stringencies in regards to Arel. Where it says, Adrabba, there are stringencies in regards to Aninus. Aninus, Havalele Rebu. Yeah, you should have included Aninus in the prohibition and had Arel be allowed to go and eat Truma because of these three stringencies that we have by Aninus. Number one, Shekein Yesh, number Chol Shah. And Onain can occur at any point in time. Bris Mila is a one-time occurrence at the beginning of life. Aninus applies to both men and women. Of course, bris mila only applies to men. And number three, you can't do anything to correct yourself from aninus. It's just a question of time. And by an arel, obviously, you do a bris mila. You're no longer an arel. So why did you see fit to say the arel isn't allowed to eat truma? Why don't we say that the aninus person, the onain, is not allowed to eat truma? So Gemara says it's 5 versus 3, Hanach Nefishin. There are more stringencies in regards to the arel than there are in regards to aninus. So if you're going to be machmir on one and Mekel on the other, it makes more sense to be Machmer on Arel and Mekel for Bechol Zor for Aninus. Rava, as we said yesterday, didn't think that was even necessary. Rava Mar below Hanoch Defishin Namila Motzis Amris. Even if you didn't have 5 versus 3, let's say it was even, it was 5 against 5 or 3 against 3, it still makes more sense to include Arelus being an Arel in the prohibition of not being allowed to eat Truma, and to exclude that and to in fact allow an Onay to eat Truma. Because the Pasuk says, Amakra Ish Ish. It's talking about a man. So Ezu Davishesh no Beish, Veno Beisha, Heavy Omer, Zarelus. This is exactly only applicable to a man, as we pointed out. Aninus applies to men and women. But Arelus, not being Bris Milad, that only applies to a man. And the Pasuk says, Ish Ish. So therefore, you're going to be Marba, one of the two from Ish. It should be the one that applies to a man and not one that applies to both men and to women. Very good. So that's Rabbi Akiva's understanding. Nu, what does Rabbi Akiva do with Rabbi Eliezer's drasha of Toshav Socher, the Gzeri Shav of Toshav Socher? Rabbi Akiva, hi Toshav, the Socher, my Ovidlei. What does he do with that? So I'm Rishmaya says, that comes to include Lasuye Aravi Moho, Vigiv Oni Moho. Some of the Girsa Gavnuni. These are people, a certain nation, that had the custom, Rashi says, to go and do bris milas. So, an Arab, they had the custom from Yishmael, who was having a bris mila of 13, so they have bris milas, and also this nation, either the Gavonim or the Gavnunim, their custom also have the bris mila. So Rav Shemaya says that Rabbi Akiva used this parsha, Toshav V'Sachir, to teach us that even an Aravi, who was Mahol, or a Givoni, or a Gavnuni, who was Mahol, would not be allowed to go and eat from the Korban Pesach. Now, Gemara says, are these people really considered as if they have a bris mila? Vahani mulininu, that they need a pasuk to exclude them? After all, Vatnan, we have a famous Mishnah that tells us in the Darim that people who are not Jewish are not called mild. They're always called arelim, even if they have a bris mila. And likewise, Yidin, even if they're not mild, they haven't had a bris mila for whatever the reason, they're still considered mulin, as if they have a bris mila in regards to the following din. So we learned in the Mishnah, in the Dorim, if a person were to make a lashon of a neder by saying konam, shani nelen arelim. Konam is a shorthand form of korban, which is basically saying, I aser upon myself, like it was a korban, the following item. So the person says, it should be aser to me, konam, shani nelen arelim. It should be aser to me to get any hanah from people that are arelim. Arelim means uncircumcised. So, the din in the Mishnah is, however, that mutu bareli Yisrael. He says, I won't get any hanah from Arelim, but he's allowed to get hanah from a yid that wasn't circumcised, the asur bimuli of the kochavim. But he's still prohibited from getting hanah even from an ovi kochavim who has a bris mila. That's because it's not considered a bris mila. The goyim are considered Arelim, and the yidin are considered mulim, regardless of whether that's physically true or not. Likewise, the Mishnah continues. If the person were to say konim shani nene lemulim, the person says it should be also to be the getting hanoah for people that are mild. So then he's mutter even bimulei of the kochavim. Even a guy who has a bris mila, he's still not considered mild. He's considered still an arel. And therefore, since he said I only asked myself to get hanoah from mulin, so even though physically the ovi kochavim is circumcised, he's not considered a mild. And likewise, Ba'asr, Ba'areli Yisrael, even if a Yid was not circumcised, he's still halachically considered circumcised in regards to the din of Nedarim. So therefore, can't be, the Gemara says, that Rav Shmaya is telling us that Rabbi Akiva needed to have Tosha of the Sacher to teach us the din of Aravi Mol, Vigavoni Mol, that they're not allowed to come Pesach. That's simply not true. Someone says, you're right. Ella, you know what Rabbi Akiva would use the extra gzerishav of Toshav v'sacher for? Ella lasuye ger shemol v'lo toval. The first one would be to teach us a person who's in the process of converting. He had a bris mila, but he hadn't yet gone to the mikvah. And Rabbi Akiva's opinion is that a ger shelo toval, he had mila, but he wasn't yet toval. According to Rabbi Akiva, he is considered still to be a non-Jew at this point in time. So even though he had a bris mila, you might have thought that he'd be allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. The word Toshav Issachar comes to tell us, no, this Ger Shemol V'lo Toval is not yet considered somebody who can eat the Korban Pesach. And the second word is needed for the Katan Shel Nolad Kishu Mol. The second part of the Gzei Rishava is needed to teach us for a child that was born Mol. So he's not an Arel, but he's also not considered Mald, so you might have thought that he can eat the Korban Pesach, because of Tzorich Lahatev Yimeno Dambris. Rabbi Akiva holds that you still need to do Hatofas Dambris, and that also Malkum, where there would have normally been an Arla. Here there is no Arla. You have to go and do a little bit of drawing of blood, what's called Hatofas Dambris, and Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that a Kotan that didn't have Hatofas Dambris is not considered Mal. So that's what you need the Gzei Rishava of Toshav V'Sachir for, to teach us these two dinim of a Ger Shemol V'lo Toval, and a Katan Shel Nolad Mohu. Okay, that concludes our understanding of Rabbi Akiva. But now we've introduced some things that Rabbi Eliezer has to go and explain. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the Taimei, his reasoning was that we learned it all out from the Gzeir Shava of Tosha of Issachar. So what does he do? He doesn't have these three psukim to teach us that a Ger Shemov Lotova or a Nolad Mahu, how do they know, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that they're not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach? So the answer is, Rabbi Eliezer L'Taimei, he holds that they are allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. The Omar, he says, Ger Shemov Lotova, Ger Mayu. He says, as soon as the Ger undergoes Bris Milah, he is considered a full-fledged Yid and can eat from the Karban Pesach, even though he hasn't yet undergone a Tvila. And likewise, he holds the kesavar cotton shenolad mahol ain't tzorach latif min adambris. He says a child who's born without an arla is considered a mahol person and doesn't require even a little bit of drawing of blood hatavas dambris. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer doesn't need a separate pasuk to go and exclude these two from eating the Karban Pesach. He holds they're allowed to go and eat the Karban Pesach. Finally, the last question that I have to address is, what does Rabbi Eliezer do with Rabbi Akiva's pasuk, ish, ish? Rabbi Eliezer, hi, ish, ish, my ovidle. He obviously doesn't use it for the drasha that Rabbi Akiva did to teach us about an oral not being allowed to eat truma. Rabbi Eliezer learns it out from the Seir Shava. So what does he do with Rabbi Akiva's pasuk of ish, ish? So Rabbi Eliezer says, Dibra Torah b'loshem b'nei Adam. Sometimes the Torah will write something, Sakol Yisakel. It will say things in a very emphatic and enthusiastic and strong way because that's the way a person would speak. So therefore, sometimes the Torah parallels this, Dibra Torah k'loshem b'nei Adam, to show emphasis. So it'll say, Ish, Ish, you're any man. So it's just a loshen of emphasis, but not a specific drasha. Mark continues and he asks, the boy Rabbi Rav Chama Barukva, Rav Chama Barukva asks the following shayla, Katan Orel. Rashi says this Katan Orel is, he is a child that has just been born and he's Toch Shmona. He's within the first 8 days of life. So in this situation, what is the din? Can he eat truma? Is he considered uncircumcised and would be forbidden to eat truma? Or is he considered not yet in the mitzvah of Bris Milah, because he's not yet 8 days old, and therefore he's not considered an Orel, and therefore is allowed to go and eat Truma. Now, since we're dealing with a very, very young baby, we're not talking about eating, we're going to talk about Sicha, because young babies under 8 days old normally don't eat or drink something that would be Truma, but they could be anointed with oil of Truma, and therefore that's what we're going to use, because anointing has a similar din of drinking. So therefore, the Gemara asks, Rav Chama Baruch asks, this katan who's an Orel before 8 days old, is he considered an Orel lahalacha, or he's just physically uncircumcised, but is not considered an Orel lahalacha? The nafka mina is, ma'ulusocha b'shemishal truma. Is he allowed to be anointed with oil that is truma? If this oil is truma, so if he's an Orel, if he was an adult, he wouldn't be allowed to be anointed with the oil, because that's like drinking it, and he's not allowed to drink truma as an Orel. He's not allowed to be anointed as an Orel. But if he's not yet considered halachically an Orel before 8 days, because only on the 8 days there are bris milah, so before that he's not considered an Orel, so then he would be allowed to have anointing with oil of truma. So the Gemara says, Arelu shelo bismana ma'akva, alo ma'akva. The Gemara explains, this is our question. Since he's not yet an Orel, from the point of view, if he couldn't have a bris milah, so maybe we don't call him an Orel. Or on the other hand, we do call him an Orel, because after all, he is an Orel. How do we paskin on Rosera Toshma? I bring you right for the following brisa. Eliela milas zucharav bishas asiya. The pasuk tells us the chiyogor itcha ger v'yosa pesach l'shem himolo kol zuchar v'oz yikrav la'asoso. So the pasuk tells us that a person is only allowed to go and shech the Karban Pesach, to bring the Karban Pesach, if he has no children, no boys that haven't had a bris milah. If he has no Orel in his house, so then he is allowed to go and shech the Karban Pesach. But it doesn't say anything about eating the Karban Pesach at that point in time. Pasuk does say, v'avodav b'shas achila, if he has avodim at the time of the achila, that's also not allowed to go and have eating the Karban Pesach if he has any servants that are not circumcised. He has an Eved Kanani that wasn't circumcised, so he, at the time of the eating the Karban Pesach, he wouldn't be allowed to eat it. Now, it only taught us the bris milah is required in his children and his sons at the time of the shechti, the Karban Pesach, and the bris milah must be present in the avodim at the time of the eating. How do we know that the vice versa is true as well? How do we know that both of them, you can't have either a son or an eved at the time of the shechita that doesn't have a bris milah, and at the time of the eating, you can't have an eved or a son that doesn't have a bris milah at the time of the eating? How do we know that both of these didn't mature? It really only says each them, one by each of the psukim, one by shechting and one by eating, it doesn't list both of them by both. But how do we know the din is both of them if you have either a son or an eved that doesn't have a bris milah at either the shechita or at the time of the eating? The shechita is on yudalit in the afternoon, the eating is tezvav at night. If you have either of those two still present, then you're not allowed to go and eat a shecht and or eat the carbon pesach. How do we know that? Because there's the connection between the two. Tamar lomar, oz l'gzeru shava. As Rashi says, the first pasuk that we brought down says, oz yikrav la'soso. And the second pasuk, which I didn't say, but now we'll say now, tells us the whole eved ish miknas kesef umaltoso oz yochalbo. That's the second pasuk. So we have gzeru shava, oz between the two psukim, to teach us that, in fact, that the din applies both at the time of shechita and at the time of achila, that neither your son or your eved can be without a bris milah in order for you to go in either shecht or eat the karban pesach. So the gzeirah shava of oz teaches us both of these dinim by both of them. Now, Rabbi Zeira is bringing this as a proof to answer our question, can the less than 8-day-old child be anointed with oil? So how is this a proof? So Gemara says, Bishlomo avodov, how is it possible to have an eved only at the time of the eating and not own the eved at the time of the shechita? After all, between Yudalit and Tezvav, there's very little time. So Gemara says, no, that's easy to understand. Mishkachas lo, it's very possible. The isnu b'shas achila, that in fact, he only had an eved that wasn't circumcised and Tezvav at night because he bought him Yudalit in the afternoon after he shechted his korban pesach. Therefore, the isnu b'shas asiya. So at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Yudalit, Erev Pesach, he does the shechita of his korban pesach. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he buys an uncircumcised slave. And that uncircumcised slave didn't have a bris milah, so he's not allowed to go and eat the Karban Pesach. Neither the Eved or the owner is allowed to go and eat the Karban Pesach that night at the time of the Achila. He has an uncircumcised Eved. So that's real easy to understand. Kagon, Dizav Ninu, Beni Beni. As I said, he shechted at 2 o'clock, he bought the Eved at 3 o'clock, and he eats the Karban Pesach, or would have normally been able to eat the Karban Pesach at 8 o'clock at night, but now he can't because he has an uncircumcised Eved that was only present at the time of the potential Achila, but wasn't present at the time of the Shechita. Piece of cake, easy. However, Ela Zucharev, what's the case where he has a son that's uncircumcised at the time of the Achila, 8 o'clock Tezvav in the evening, but he was the Isnu B'Shas Achila, he has this child that's uncircumcised at 8 p.m. that night of Tezvav, the Lesnu B'Shas Asiya, but wasn't around at the time of the Asiya. The only possible way you could think of that would be if he was born at 3 o'clock. So at 2 o'clock, he shechted his korban pesach. 3 o'clock, mazel tov, he has a baby born. And then at 8 o'clock at night, he has an uncircumcised baby. Because it's not 8 days old, he wasn't able to circumcise it. So therefore, hechem ishkachas, how could you possibly have? It's only possible, lav di yisrol ubein asiyah l'achila, the baby was born in between the shechita at 2 p.m. and the eating of what would normally be the eating of the korban pesach at 8 p.m. at night. And therefore, you have the baby was born in between the shechita and the achila. Ah, so here you see clearly, yet he is called as having a child that's uncircumcised and he can't eat the korban pesach. So you see here that a child that's less than 8 days old is still considered an arel. So asked and answered. That's Rosera's answer. And the Gemara says, lav dafka. Now the girsa that we have is Omar Rava. However, the Besoros HaShah says, the right gears should be Omar Rabba, because on the Omid Beis, we're going to have a different explanation that's given to Rabba. Others disagree and say that that wasn't Rabba, that's really Ravina, and therefore you can leave Rabba over here now and not change the gears to the Rabba. In any event, whoever it was that said this, either Rabba or Rabba, he said, really, Rav Zeri, you think you're right? The Tisbara? After all, the pasuk says, Himolo kol zohar amrachbona, and then the oz yikrav lasoso. You have to go and do a bris milah, and only after that are you allowed to go and shech the korban pesach. But that pasuk says that you must go and do the circumcision, and then go and shech the korban pesach. That implies that you could do the circumcision. The child is 8 days old. By la bar mihilu. But this baby who's less than 8 days old is not a bar mihilu. He's not capable of being circumcised. It's too early. If he did a circumcision, it wouldn't count. So therefore, Rava/Rabba doesn't like the teretz of Rav Zeira. Doesn't like the proof of Rav Zeira. And therefore, he says, either Rava or Rabba, they say, Elohach, my skin, you know what we're talking about? How could you have a baby that was uncircumcised at the time of the Achila, but wasn't present at the time of the Shechita, so he wasn't around at 2 o'clock, but he's around at 8 o'clock, Kigon Shechaltsoso Chama. You know what happened? He had a fever. And a baby who has a fever is not allowed to be circumcised. So at 2 p.m. in the afternoon, when they did the Shechita of the Korban Pesach, they couldn't do the bris milah because the baby was sick. But now, at 3 o'clock, the baby got better. So at 8 o'clock at night, when they're about to eat the Korban Pesach, they could have done the bris milah, but they didn't during the daytime. And therefore, that's the example of how the baby didn't have a problem at the time of the shechita, but does have a problem at the time of the achila. But the Gemara says, not so fast. The nes of lay called shiva. So then you should have to wait 7 full days from the time that the baby got better. Because after all, the Omar Shmuel, chalzasu chama, nosin lo kol shiva. This is halacha lemaisa. That depending on the severity of the illness of the baby, if the baby was significantly sick, so then you restart the clock, so to say, and consider that at the moment as if the baby was born. So if a baby, Lambach, had some serious medical problem, and Baruch Hashem got better, so then you count 8 days. And on the 8th day from the time that they got better, you do the bris milah, not right away. Sometimes, at least most paskin, that if the baby had a little bit of jaundice, and in the morning, the baby was always considered too jaundiced, and then at noon, the mohel looks at the baby and says, yeah, no, it's okay, now to do the bris milah, the jaundice is gone. It was in the light, he was underneath the UV lights for the full 3, 4, extra 5 hours, and now the baby's discoloration has gone away, so he's no longer jaundiced, and they'll do the bris milah that day. They don't have to wait 8 days. At least that's the way most poskin paskin. The Lubavitcher, they paskin in that situation, you have to wait 8 days as well. But in any event, how could you go and say that the baby was not eligible for the bris milah at 2 o'clock, but then became eligible at 3 o'clock and is able to be mild? That's not true. You'd have to wait a full 7 days, and then on the 8th day, do the bris milah. So that can't be the case. So I said, yeah, the Avina Lake Hoshiva. Yeah, we waited. This occurred 7 days ago. And now we're dealing over here. It's on your dalet in the afternoon, and that's why they didn't do the bris milah, because at 2 o'clock, they couldn't do the bris milah. Where it says, what are you talking about? As soon as the 8th day comes, which is Yodalit Erev Pesach, at 8 o'clock in the morning, 8 a.m., go do the bris milah. And then, how can you tell me at 2 o'clock they didn't do the bris milah? So when it says, Boina, and we turn to Ayin Aleph from Mudbeis, may Eis Leis. In this situation, you need to wait exactly 7 24-hour periods of time. So you don't say, like with a bris milah, that the baby's born at the 5 minutes before the Shkia, that still counts as day one. But in the case where a baby got healed from whatever illness they had, then you have to count from that moment that the baby is declared to be healed, 7 24-hour periods of time. Here we go, may ace la ace. Adigmar says, is that really true? Vatani Ludor. Rashi says, Ludor is the name of a Talmud Chacham. This Talmud Chacham Ludor said, Yom Havra'aso ki Yom Hivaldi. He says, there's no difference between the day that the baby gets healed and the day that the baby is born. You just count 8th day, and on the 8th day, you don't have to have may ace la ace. Just in the beginning of the 8th day, you can do the bris milah. My love, isn't Ludor telling us, my yom hivoldo lo bina me'es leis, af yom avros lo bina me'es leis? As Rashi says, you don't need the me'es leis. So if the baby is born at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, it's still daytime, so that counts as day one, even though Shki is at 6 o'clock. That's day one. He's only 1 hour, and he's already going on now into day two. You don't have to wait me'es leis. This is true whether the baby's born or whether the baby's healed. So according to Ludor, this Talmud Chacham, it shouldn't make a difference. You shouldn't have to wait me'es leis. So why didn't you do the bris milah at 8 o'clock in the morning? Someone says, lo, that's not correct. What Ludor really said was, Odif Yom Havrasum Yom Hivaldo. He says that we treat more strictly a healing than we do the day of birth. By the day of birth, the Yom Hivaldo Lobina Meleslais. The baby's born 5 minutes before the Shkia, so that counts as day one. However, in regards to healing, then we required to wait a full 7 24-hour periods of time. Vilu Yom Havrasum, but you know, Meleslais. And only after that 7 full 24-hour periods of time has occurred, so then you can only do the bris milah. So here in this situation, the baby was healed at 3 p.m., 7 days before Yadalit. So now at 2 p.m. on Yadalit, it's not 7 24-hour periods of time. It's not 7 me'es la'eses, and therefore the baby couldn't have the bris milah at 2 p.m. Only at 3 p.m. could the baby have the bris milah. You didn't do the bris milah. That's how you could have the baby being considered uncircumcised at the time of the achila later that night. Whew. That's the first interpretation that we have for how we could have somebody that would not be a problem at the time of the shechita, but would be a problem at the time of the achila. Rapapa gives us a different terence. Rapapa mar kigon, for example, dechoiv le'ene li'enuka, ve'itpach beni. The child had a mild illness, one which would not require a wait of 7 days. Everybody agrees that a very mild illness, so that you don't have to wait the full 7 days. So the child, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, had some sort of a mild eye problem, dechoiv le'ene. His eyes hurt him. Therefore, they couldn't do the bris milah. But at 3 o'clock, the kid felt better. So then at 3 o'clock, they could have done the bris milah, and therefore there was no reason to wait the full week. And that's the example of there was no problem at the time of the shechita, but there is a problem at the time of the achila. Another teretz is similar. Rava. Rava Omar. Now, some have the gears of here, Ravina, because they had the gears of Rava on the Omar Aleph. But if we switch the gears of before to Rabba instead of Rava, so then you can be Goris Rava over here. Even there, there's still some problems, and some suggest the correct Girsa should be Ravina. In any event, we have the Girsa Rava Amar, Yon Shayo Avivimo Chavushi Vesasurim. At 2 o'clock in the afternoon, both the mother and the father were in jail. They were in prison, and they weren't able to go and do the Bris Milah. However, they were able to send the Shaliach to go and be their shliach, to include them in the Korban Pesach. So at the time of the Shechita, they couldn't do the Bris Milah, so the Bris Milah doesn't aser it for them. But then at 3 o'clock, they got out, and they could have done the Bris Milah then, and they didn't. So therefore, that's how you could have a situation, according to Rava or Ravina, that there would be no problem at the time of the Shechita, not doing the Bris Milah, but there would be a problem at the time of the Achila, in that they had a child that didn't have a Bris Milah. Another answer would be Rav Kahana, Berei the Rav Nechemiah Omar. Rav Kahana was the son of Rav Nechemiah. He said, this is the situation. He's going, Tumtum, Shenikra, Vinimso Zohar, Beni Uveni. A Tumtum is an unclear genitalia. There's some sort of a membrane covering the genitalia, so you don't know, is it a boy or is it a girl? So they didn't know if this child needed a Bris Milah or not at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a Tumtum, and therefore there was no need to do a Bris Milah, and therefore at 2 o'clock at the time of the Shechita, there was no problem of having an uncircumcised child. But then something happened. At 3 o'clock, the membrane was ripped open, and they saw that the child was a Zohar and needed a Bris Milah. So at the time of the Achila, if they didn't do the Bris Milah, there would be a problem. So that's what Rav Kahana, who was the son of Rav Nechemiah, said is the potential answer why there was no problem at the time of the Shechita, but there was a problem at the time of the Achila. Another answer was Rav Shravya. Rav Shravya Amar, Kigon Shotzi Rosho Chutz Leprozdar. The child was born, the head came out of the mother 7 days before and then went back inside. So therefore, the bris is going to be on the 8th day from the time that the head came out. But at 2 p.m. on Erev Pesach, the entire body didn't come out yet. So therefore, the child is not capable of being circumcised, but it is the 8th day. Child's physically still inside the mother. At 3 p.m., the child is born. He comes out. So he technically is an 8-day-old baby and could have the Bris Milah at that point in time because you go for the time that the majority of the body or the head has come out. The head came out on Zion and then went back inside. So now it's Yudalit. The child is the 8th day of life, even though he's only physically fully born at 3 p.m. So at 2 p.m., they couldn't do the Bris Milah. It's not going to be ma'akev, and therefore they could do the shechita without having a child circumcised. But at 3 p.m., when the child fully comes out of the mother, so now the child is on the 8th day, requires a Bris Milah. If they don't do the Bris Milah, that's why it's a problem at the time of the Achila. Gemara just has a technical objection to this. The Gemara says, can such a child survive? Umi chai? Could a child have its head come out on day 7 of Nisan and not be born fully until Yudal Nisan and still be alive? But Tanya, we learned in the following Braisa, it tells us, Kivan Shiotzal Avira Olam Niftachasosum Vinistam HaPasuach. We have an unbelievable understanding of physiology in the Gemara. There are unbelievable changes in the circulation and in the respiratory patterns of a child at the time of birth. Until the time of birth, there is no breathing that is done by the baby. The baby inside the mother doesn't breathe. It gets all of its oxygen through the umbilical cord. At the time that the baby is born, the umbilical cord no longer supplies that oxygen. It's cut off. It no longer supplies the oxygen. And the entire circulation of the baby changes around inside the baby. And now when the baby breathes, the baby is now causing the oxygen to enter into the baby's circulatory system, go through the lungs, and get the appropriate oxygenation and removal of the carbon dioxide from the baby. So this occurs at the time of birth. Now, if this baby's head came out on Zion Nisan and the baby stayed inside the mother for another 7 days, how did this baby survive? Shomali Kane, if this didn't normal physiological changes occur, the baby wouldn't be able to survive even 1 second once it's born. If it didn't breathe on its own, it would get no oxygen. So here, how did this survive? How did the baby survive inside? That's the more technical problem with saying that the baby's head came out on day 7, but the rest of the body didn't come out until Yudal Nisan. Gemara says, no, that's not a problem. You know why? Hochimai Askinen, we're dealing with such a case. The Zonsei Ishta. The baby had a fever, and the fever somehow was able to support the child. As Rashi tells us, there's certain types of fever that can hacholi zones hachole. The sickness can somehow support, sustain the sick person. So therefore, that's how the baby survived, because it had a fever. Gemara says, who had the fever? Ishto deman. Who had the fever that we're dealing with over here? If you're telling me, ilema ishto didei, the baby that had the fever, so that's what we would call a life-threatening type of an illness that you'd have to wait 8 days. On the 8th day from the healing, you do the bris milah. So now the child is, quote, healed on your dalet. You'd have to wait an additional 7 days, and then on the 8th day, you'd be able to do the bris milah. Not on your dalet. So this would not be a case where the baby was okay at 2 p.m., but wasn't okay, needed a bris milah at 3 p.m., and therefore at the time of the achila needed a bris milah. No, in fact, that wouldn't be true. You'd have to wait. The baby still didn't need a bris milah because you'd have to wait till the 8th day from the healing. So it can't be the talking about that the baby had the fever. It can't be ishta didei. Ella what? It must be, if that was the case, ihachi kol shiva boy would need 7 additional days. So therefore, Ella, it must be the zonise ishta diime. The mother had a fever, but the mother's fever sustained the baby. But that didn't mean the baby was sick. And therefore, as soon as the baby's born on day 14 at 3 p.m., boom, it required a bris milah. So at 2 p.m., when they shechted the Karban Pesach, it wasn't born yet. But at 3 p.m., it was born. You don't need to wait the 7 me'es le'eses in order to have the bris milah 8 days after the baby's healed. No, the baby wasn't sick. It was the mother who had the fever, and that's what sustained the baby. That's teretz number one. Bibay same or teretz number two, hani mili hechad lo ma'ave. We're dealing here where the baby didn't yell, didn't cry out. But aval hecha di ma'ave, if the baby cries out, then the baby can survive. And we know that when the baby cries, it oxygenates itself. So if the baby was able to cry, so then it was able to breathe. And therefore, that's how the baby survived for the 7 days while it was, its head came out, and then it went back inside and was able to still breathe and survive for that 7 day period of time. Tosu seems to have a different understanding. He doesn't have the word ma'ave, he has the word ma'ora. Pirish, sha taptosos, sha tibar, the umbilical cord, ein mu'ura li'imo, it's not connected to the mother. However, alba mu'ura, but if it's still connected, mi'chichai, mi'ma'ashimo chala, so then it can still survive through the regular fetal circulation where it gets its oxygen and its food from the umbilical cord. Okay. Gemara continues and says, oh, Rabbi Yochanan, Mishur Rabbi Benoah, Rabbi Yochanan said the name of Rabbi Benoah, Ariel Makabal Azor, that a person who is doesn't have a bris milah, nevertheless, if they become tamei, you can sprinkle upon them the mei parah aduma on the 3rd and the 7th day, and the person can become tar, even though they are an arel. Where do we see a source for this? Shechem Motzino Babosteinu. We found this by our forefathers when Yehoshua ben Nun did a bris milah on everybody, shekibul wazah kishen arelim. Before that happened, they had to eat the Korban Pesach, and they didn't have a bris milah yet, and therefore, Yehoshua was matar them by sprinkling upon them the mei paraduma on the 3rd and 7th day, shekiblu azah, even though kishen arelim, they hadn't bowed themselves while they were in the desert. Most of Chai Yisrael other than Levim did not do a bris milah, and therefore Yehoshua was held accountable why they didn't do a bris milah. So they ultimately did do a bris milah, but before that they were needing to have the hazah put upon them so they weren't tamei. And this is seen from the pasuk Shinemar, V'am olu min ha'yardein. The people rose up from the Yardein when Yeshua crossed the Yardein on the 10th day of the month of Nisan. Be'asol lechodesh harishon on the first month, which is Nisan, which is the 10th day. Ba'asara lo mihile mishum chushu liyarcha. But they hadn't yet had a bris milah. Yet when they came out from the Yardein, they had the hazah. So when was the hazah done? Hazah emas avinu lav kishen arelim. They were still arelim. They hadn't had a bris milah. So therefore, it was clear that you can do hazah even when a person hasn't had a bris milah. Even on an oral, this works. Shmuel says, maybe they didn't do the Karban Pesach. V'dumo lo avid Pesach klal. So they didn't need to become Torah because they didn't make a Karban Pesach. So therefore, they didn't have any question about hazah, and therefore they didn't have the hazah on the 10th of Nisan when they were not yet having the bris milah. So Gemara says, lo sokadaita. Don't think that for a second, because the pasuk says, d'chsev. The pasuk specifically tells us, Vayachanu b'nei Yisrael ba'Gilgal, when they crossed the Yarden, they camped in Gilgal. Vayasu es ha'posach b'arbos ha'yom l'chodesh v'erev b'arbos yiricho. They in fact did make the Karban Pesach then, so don't tell me they didn't make Karban Pesach that year. Nevertheless, Gemara still questions. Maskif lo marzutra. Marzutra asks, v'duma pesach ha'bo b'tumaya. Maybe they all were tamei, and therefore they didn't have the sprinkling done, but since if you have the majority of Chai Yisrael being tamei, you're allowed to bring the Karban Pesach b'tumah. Tumah hutra b'tzibur. So Rav Ash says that's not happened. Amalei Rav Ashi, no. Tanya Behedya, it says Beferish, Molu Vitovlu. When they crossed the Yarden, they were mal and they were tovel themselves, implying Beotsu Pisrein Betara, that they didn't need the Korban Pesach when they were not tome. So, in fact, when they crossed the Yarden, they had to have had the Hazor when they were still Arelim, and you can clearly see from here that the Hazor works even though you're in Orel, and then subsequently they brought the Korban Pesach Bitahara. Similarly, Amar Rabba Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Rabba Bar Yitzchak, the name of Rav, Lo Nitna Prias Mila, Liavram Avinu. There are really two components to the Bris Mila. There's the actual separating the Priya, which is a membrane, a very thin membrane, that is directly on top of the skin of the Gid, and then you have the Arlo, which is connected to that. So the mitzvah of Priya, which is separating the thin membrane on top of the Gid from the Gid, so that mitzvah called Priya wasn't given to Avram Avinu. Where do we see this? Shenema, because the Pasuk tells us in Yehoshua, when they did the Bris Mila, it says, Bo'esahi, at that point in time, Amar Hashem Yehoshua, Kosh Baruch Hu told Yehoshua, Asei lecha charvos tzurim, go and make for yourself sharp knives. The shuv mol es b'nei Yisrael shenis. So the key words over here, and shuv, and again do a bris mila on Klai Yisrael a second time. Now you see from here that they did the bris mila the second time. That's because they now did the priya. They previously had only done, like with Avram Avinu, just the regular mila, but they didn't do priya, so now they did priya. Indeed, the priya, halacha lemaisa, is an essential part of the bris mila. If you don't do the priya, you didn't complete the bris mila. More questions this. It says, V'dilma hanach delo mohu. Maybe it's only talking about the people that didn't yet have a bris mila. Because d'chsiv, the pasuk says, kimulim hayu kol ha'om hayotzim, the people left Mitzrayim, they had a bris mila because they ate the korban pesach then. V'chol ha'om hayilodim b'midbar, but all the people that were born in the midbar, b'derech, b'tzeisam b'mitzrayim, on the path, on the road, when they left Mitzrayim to go to Eretz Yisrael, the 40 years in the midbar, lo mohu, they didn't do a bris mila. So maybe only those people have to do a bris mila now, but all the people that had a bris mila before they left Mitzrayim, the older folk, so they didn't have to do a bris mila again, because they had a bris mila, including Priya. Someone says, no. Then why would it say, Im Kain, my, what did the Pasuk say, Vishuv Molus B'nei Yisrael, and go again, Mal B'nei Yisrael, implying, Ella Lad Lepriya, that they had already a Bris Mila, but they didn't have the Priya, so now they did the Priya. And Nuri Gemara says, what were Darshaning, Umay Shainis, what does it mean they did it Shainis again, a second time? So that's to teach us a very important din, Lakushi Sof Mila L'Tzchilas Mila. That's to teach us that just like the beginning of the Mila has to be complete, so to the end of the Mila has to be complete. What do we mean by that? Matchilas Mila Me'akevis, if you didn't do the entire first part of the Bris Mila, it's Ma'akev, if you didn't do an adequate Bris Mila. In other words, if you didn't take away the Arla, so you didn't do the Bris Mila, so too, Avsof Mila Makvo, then if you didn't do the end of the Bris Mila, if you still have Tzitzin Hama'akvin, little pieces of the flesh left, so then that's still called an invalid Bris Mila. How do we define that? So we learned in the Mishnah, in Shabbos, it says there, Elu Tzitzin Hama'akvin Samila, these are the little pieces of the flesh that are considered that they're Ma'akvin Samila, that if you didn't do them, you still haven't done the Bris Mila, and you're allowed to still go back and do it even on Shabbos, because the Bris Mila is Docha Shabbos, it's on the eighth day, so the entire Bris Mila, not just part of it, you have to be Yotzei the Bris Mila. So anything that's Ma'akiv, you for be Yotzei the Bris Mila, you're still allowed to go back and do it, it's still on Shabbos. So such are the Tzitzin Ma'akvin. This is Basar Chofes Rov HaTorah. This is little pieces of the Arla, of the flesh, that are covering up the Rov, the majority of the Atara. The Atara is the thickened, fleshy part that is right at the tip of the Gid, right at the point where it starts to taper off, where the urine comes out. So that little ridge of tissue, that's called the Atara. And if you have the Basar, the Tzitzin, that are still covering up most of that, so then that is considered that you haven't done the Bris Mila, and that Kohen, if he were to not do anything further, ain't Ocha B'truma. He's considered an Arel, as if he didn't have a Bris Mila. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, others say Vitema Rav Yirmiyah bar Ava, Amar Rav, others say it was Rav Yirmiyah bar Ava, say the name of Rav, this Basar that's covering up the Rov HaTorah that we're talking about is Basar Chof Es Rov Gova Shel HaTorah. It's covering up the vertical component, the height of the HaTorah. And certainly, as Rashi, the bottom Rashi points out, Avogav Dein Rov HaKef, even though it doesn't cover up the majority of the circumference of the HaTorah, but even it only covers up the Rov of the height of the HaTorah, so then that is considered Tzitzin HaMa'akvin HaSamil. Now the Gemara asks the question, Uba Midbar, my time alamo, why did they do a Bris Mila in the desert? Klai Yisrael, when they left Mitzrayim, and did a Bris Mila, but then, except for the Levim, none of the rest of Klai Yisrael, none of the Shvatim did a Bris Mila all the time they were in the desert. Why not? So Gemara gives two possible terutzim. Number one, because they were traveling, and the travels make you put at risk, and therefore the most of Klai Yisrael felt that it was too dangerous to do a bris milah because they were traveling. And therefore, onus rachmana patre, they were in a dangerous situation, just like a hemophiliac family. They don't do the bris milah if the first two children died, so too they felt it was dangerous, and because of chushul diarch, because they were weakened from the travel, they weren't able to do a bris milah. That's what the rest of Klai Yisrael felt. Obviously, Shevet Levi did not. And we turn to Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, the second teretz, Yibayi Seima, Mishum Delo Noshiv Lu Ruach Tzifonis, because the northern wind didn't blow. Rashi tells us it didn't blow during the daytime, Bayom, Velo Zarcha Cham Aleim, and that didn't blow away the clouds, and therefore the nice, calm northern winds didn't get rid of the clouds, and therefore the sun didn't shine, and it was necessary for the sun to shine to heal them, and therefore that's why they didn't do a bris milah. And we see this from the following brayse of the Tanya. Kolos and Abim Shon, Shai Yisrael b'midbar, lo nosh v'lem ruach tzfonis. All the 40 years that the Klai Yisrael was in the midbar, the northern wind didn't blow during the daytime, as we said, and therefore it didn't push away the clouds, and the sun wasn't able to shine through. How come? My timer. Why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the ruach tzfonis during the daytime, during the 40 years in the midbar? So again, we have two terutzim. Yibay Seima, number one, Mishum Dini Zufim Habu, because Klai Yisrael, because Rashi says because of the sin of the Egel, Tosu says because of the sin of the Meraglim, so Klai Yisrael was, so to say, in Nidoy, they were in Nizuf, they were in excommunication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he didn't do them this tova of bringing out the sun. Yibay Seima, alternatively, the low Nibadud Ananei Kavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want the clouds to separate, and if the northern winds came out, they would have blown away the Ananei Kavod, and therefore, in order that the Ananei Kavod should stay there, so we didn't have the northern wind blow. Amar Rapapa says, Hilkach, therefore, we learn a practical din. He says, Yoma De'eva, on a cloudy day, where the sun doesn't come out, V'yoma De'shuso, or on a very windy day, when you have strong, Rashi says, southern winds coming, Shiruach Duromis, Rashi says, Minashevis, Vikosha, Mikal Ruchos, and this is the strongest or most severe of all the winds, and it's dangerous. The Lo Misochrinan Be. And likewise, we don't draw blood on a day when you have such strong winds, or you don't have the sun, because the sun is needed to go and heal you. So this is a practical din, Rav Papa says, we can learn from the northern winds not blowing in the midbar and Klai Yisrael not doing a bris milah. Maisa nowadays, but in the Gemara says, Dadashu Barabim, nobody's concerned about this nowadays. Nobody ever goes and asks the Moel, what's the weather going to be like? Can we do the Bris Milah? So we don't ask that. Why not? Because Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Because we're essentially living in a time where nobody's concerned about these things. And we have a principle that if most people are willing to accept a certain risk, then that risk is halachically acceptable for us to take. This is called Dosh Be Rabim. The Rabim trample on it, and therefore a person is allowed to go and take the quote risk that might be there for doing a bris milah, even on a cloudy day or on a day when there's strong southerly winds. Similarly, the Gemara tells us, Tana Rabbanan, Kol Osan Arban Shon, and Shai Yisrael B'Midbar, those 40 years that we were in the Midbar, Lahayu Lahem, the northern wind did blow at nighttime, however. As I mentioned before, for Mashi, it didn't blow during the daytime, but it blew at nighttime. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, and Hashem brought about the northern wind, and he called Kol Bechor. So how do we see this? My Talmud, what's the drash here? That this is a very special time, a very opportune time for a person to daven. As Rashi says, in Dira Masla, Esratzo Milsi, he says, V'kivon dechatzos halayla, Esratzo navoy, l'makas b'chorus, it was an opportune time for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go hit Mitzrayim with makas b'chorus, nami Esratzo l'ruach tzfonis, therefore it was a good time for the northern wind to come, which is a good wind, ve'eluch hayom sh'ruach tzfonis, inum eshashevis bo, b'chatzi halayla, and the northern wind always blows at nighttime, at the middle of the night. This was the famous kinar that David had, that the northern wind would blow on it exactly at midnight, and he would know to get up and to go and say tikkun chatzos at that point in time. This is a great stopping point over here, but this will conclude today's shir.